हरिः ॐ सहनवावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 55, chapter 78. Lord Balaram then considered the history of Romaharshana. He was born in a Suta family, or a mixed family, born of a Brahmin woman and a Kshatriya man. Therefore, although Romaharshana considered Balaram a Kshatriya, he should not have remained sitting on a higher seat. According to his position by birth, he should not even have accepted the higher sitting position, because many learned Brahmins and sages were present. Right? So he's considering he's a Brahmin and Balaram's a Kshatriya. So if he's looking at it from that position, technically he shouldn't be doing that, because he's of a mixed birth, and anything mixed is never as good as something that's not mixed. Right? Mm-hmm. Especially considering that in that assembly were many qualified Brahmins, they could have sat there and they could have been the ones speaking. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, he can't consider the external. Because on the external position, he doesn't actually have a good position. Yes? Mm-hmm.
It's kind of vicious circle, because he's influenced by this mixed birth, so he has this pride.
Yes, that's the whole thing that Balaram will bring out.
Yeah,
that's why it's considered a lesser position, because it won't be as clear, it won't be as smooth as if it's regular. So, means if he's the one that's there, there are no other qualified Brahmins. Yeah. Then he could maybe consider, but at the same time as he's a Suta, so that's actually lower than a Kshatriya, technically.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But because he's acting in a Brahminical position, that's accepted. But what the point being made is that based simply on the externals of Varnashram, he shouldn't have come to this conclusion he didn't have to stand up.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, it's not like he is from some good Brahminical family and all that, then he could consider in that way, but he's not. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, there's other Brahmins there that could be speaking, so why is he there in the first place? So it's just by their grace. So then what's happening? Why is he there? Because he's acting as a Brahmin, he's doing that work, so that means it's about what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Right? And so in that case, then he's able to apply these Brahminical activities in a very nice way that the Brahmins who are there appreciate. But then what is Lord Balaram applying? Right? He's the Supreme Lord. So what he applies. So if we're going to look at that, then again he should be standing up for Balaram. So from either way, he should be standing up for Balaram. Yes.
In a sense, we can say what happens here is what we actually do when somebody commits a mistake. We tend to say he was never a Brahmin anyway.
Yeah.
So here...
yes, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, because then who are we to make that judgment?
A Balaram can make the judgment.
Yes. But I'm saying someone who is a Brahmin could make the judgment. Because then you know that if a mistake is there, just like if a businessman makes a mistake, is he not a businessman? Yeah, so that's the thing. Or a musician makes a mistake, are they not? You know, it means they used the wrong song in a particular situation, and so all the old ladies got really upset because, you know, they used one of Eminem's, you know, song. You know, so like this. So, but that doesn't make them that they're. So a mistake has been made, but we'll judge that it's not. And how do we judge like that? Because we're not from that position. You know. So yes, that's exactly what's going on.
Maharaj, and why was he chosen to speak at the first place?
Because he knows all these things. His Rama Harshana was given the Puranas by Vyasadeva, because he's functioning in capacity of a Brahmin. And so Vyasadeva then made him in charge of these topics. So naturally then he speaks, because in all the Vedic literature that I know of, but I can't be sure, they're all spoken by Suta Goswami. So whether that means 17 of them are spoken by Rama Harshana Sutta, and then the Bhagavatam is spoken by Ugra Shava Sutta, or if more of them are spoken by Ugra Shava, or like this. But in any case, between him and his father, all the 18 Puranas are spoken. So they're very qualified in that way, and they're functioning in this. But then when it comes to the social etiquette, being from a Sutta background, he shouldn't take such a strong position that he's so brahminical. Because the point is that he's seeing the prestige and all that is important. That's already showing the mixed aspect of the Kshatriya. Because the Brahmin, wouldn't do it. Because the Brahmin's about Brahman. Here comes the Supreme Brahman. Why you wouldn't stand up? But he's looking at it from that Kshatriya, like this, because that's where the weakness is. One tends to look at, like, somebody from one of those little out-of-the-way small towns, and they're in the big city, and someone shows up from a small town in a big city and are spaced out, they get on the case from being that they're acting like somebody from the village. But they're from the village. Otherwise, how did they know this? Other people would just think they're spaced out. They wouldn't know that it has anything to do with the village.
Same question.
Okay. Lord Bahram also observed that, so then, Lord Balan then considered, he saw that he didn't get down and that he was seated, and so he foolishly thought himself greater than the Lord. Then he considered these things. So the first consideration was on the Varna itself. So from the Varna itself, he shouldn't have been accepting that position.
Yes.
Means of not standing up for.
Yes.
Means that he had the knowledge he could function in that, he was doing the duties properly, therefore he manifests the nature of a Brahmin, so therefore he's accepted as one. But when we see things start going awry, then we can understand that comes because he's a Sutta. Yes. Does that make sense? Mm. So then he considered, that was the first consideration. Okay, Lord Balaram also observed that Rama Harsha not only refused to come down from his exalted seat, but did not even stand up and offer his respects when Balaramji entered the assembly. Now, if he had just stood up with everybody else, then everybody else came forward and then received him and did all that, then that still would have worked, because he's the senior man in the assembly, so naturally, if the other, junior men who are qualified, then, you understand, so it's not that it's junior men, it's not like, the junior men do these things, so therefore the new bhaktas, no, it's the junior men, meaning the second initiated junior men, as opposed to the second initiated who are in a more senior position. Right? So within qualification, then they have to follow. So they're all qualified, they can receive him, but him being the head of the assembly, naturally they would take care of details and rituals, and he would just, so naturally it means if he came down and then once they've taken care of that and offer his respects, it's fine. But even from there, that'll still work. It's more formal rather than just that personal, they all come forward because the Supreme Lord is coming. Right? But he didn't do that. He just sat there. Which is just not good. Lord Balaram did not like the audacity of Rama Harshana, and becoming very angry at him, declared from his seat. Right? So why would he become angry? Because he's the one who says he's establishing Dharma. Then Balaram's the one that it's more emphasis is on establishing the Dharma, and Krishna's the one that's more on interacting with the devotees. Not that Balaram doesn't do, it's just that the rules come from him. Right? And why are they coming from him? Because they please Krishna. So that's his service, and some that, in Jnana and Kriya Shaktis, is that he makes the arrangements. What is the rules of knowledge, relationship, of application, and of like that. This man, Rama Harshana, is so impudent that he has accepted a higher seat than that of all the respectable Brahmins present here, although he was born in a degraded Pratiloma family. Right? Now, if he was an Aniloma, where his father was a Brahmin, his mother was a Kshatriya, then he's a Kshatriya. If he's in a superior position as a Kshatriya, then that's still another consideration. But when you have Aniloma, it always has that mix. Right? Because it's going the wrong direction. Pratiloma. It's always going the wrong direction. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, if push comes to shove, the Aniloma will have less of a problem because the inner nature is higher than the external. Does that make sense? So in other words, the external, the nature is that of a Kshatriya. But there's that internal mood or spirit of a Brahmin. So even though they're acting as a Kshatriya, they'll tend to act towards the Brahminical.
Yes.
But they'll be a Kshatriya. So that's not a bad thing. He's not a Brahmin, but he's not, you know, but he's a Kshatriya. But when you have the Pratiloma, then you have the opposite. He has the external where he's performing the duties in that and doing it very well of a Brahmin. But the spirit is that of a Kshatriya.
Yes.
You understand? So that's where then he doesn't stand up. That's where the problem comes.
Yes. Is it the mood and the character?
It means you could say yes. The spirit, the nature, mood, the character, like that. Something like that? Yeah.
All right. Hmm. Just to clarify, can we say that the nature is what we do and the spirit is how we do it?
Yeah, or the intent why we do it.
Oh.
Yeah, you could say in a simple way.
Mm.
Like that. In other words, what knowledge and skills that we have the ability for, that would be our nature.
Right.
And then that spirit or mood will be our attitude, is the Prajumna aspect. In other words, you could say is that Sankarshan aspect is the nature and the Prajumna aspect is the mood. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the boy will pick up the Sankarshan from the mother, the Prajumna from the father.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cool?
Mm-hmm. And it rarely makes this happen with the higher case, because it's understood that they act according to the duty and just, like, the lower case, they may fall in love and they don't care, but why would this mix this happen between the higher case?
Why would the mixes happen? It just, somehow or another, it happens, like Yayati and Devayani. She's a Brahmin, he's a Kshatriya. But that's how it worked out.
I wonder if they wouldn't arrange marriage like this. There wouldn't be like arranged marriage like this.
Generally not, but sometimes it may happen. But, you know, we're dealing with Kshatriyas here. Things happen.
Big things happen.
Yes. You know. So that's why it's not the standard. So that's the difficulty in this age, is that everything is just a mix of mixes. There's no... It's based on just that attraction. You know what I'm saying? So you don't know fully what the nature is, what you're dealing with. There's something that's attractive. And it can be in any area. It could be the friendship aspect. It could be, you know, how you say, how the mind works, how the intelligence works, you know, the physical compatibility. Just the nature of how complex or simple you like things. Does that make sense? You know, so any of these different areas, then that's why you check the charts, because there's something in common. Otherwise, why is there an interest in the first place? But then it's just a matter of which areas are common, because there's a weightage in what's common. And unfortunately, the physical attraction is one of the lower numbers. Like that. It's not given high weight. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And in the case of two devotees who are, that devotion is their main thing in life, both of them. But then, and therefore they get married because they want to marry another devotee, but then the material nature is not so compatible, but they are still, they together because they are devotees. How would this
It means you just have to work harder. See, as we're looking at it here, because this is the main difficulty that we're looking at, why it becomes harder to understand, is because in this consideration means Balaram's consideration and our consideration are basically two different things. In other words, the Vedic consideration and ours is different. We're looking at, you know, the relationship between the husband and wife. The Veda is looking at the result as a child. Because the mother's a mother. The mother's a Brahmin. She's acting as a Brahmin. But she's performing duties within the Kshatriya circle. But still the nature is that the father's a Kshatriya. He's performing his duties in that way. So they don't have the problem. But because of their marriage, their son will be a Suta. And a daughter also. But I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying. So that will be the difficulty. Is the children. So that's the problem in the modern context, is we don't look at it from the child's point of view. We just think, oh, it's devotion and it's all that. If it's devotion, why are you getting married in the first place? Sit down, chant Hare Krishna, okay? Like that.
Saves a lot of problems.
Yeah, saves a lot of problems. Yeah, you know. So that's the difficulty. You know, it's like in the modern, the divorce, it's just about the parents. It's not about the children. You know, because the point is this, okay, you've agreed to be married, so then it's a legally binding thing. But if you divorce, then you're not connected. But now, whether the parents are married or divorced, does that make any difference on whether those two people are their parents or not? It has no effect on it. It just means that it's strained, because if they're together, then your parents are there in one house, and they're divorced, and they're in different houses. And then besides that, you throw on top of that that they come along with new, you know, step, you know, mother or father, you know, stepfather, stepmothers, and step, you know, siblings and all that other kind of stuff that may be turn out to be a bit Cinderella-y. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that we don't necessarily look at it to that depth. We don't look at the effect on the children. We're just looking at it about the attraction between two people, because that's the whole thing. That's why Krishna says in the Gita that, you know, he's two aspects of sex. One is it's based simply on attraction. The other is based on religious principles. So it's based on religious principles. Then the sex life itself, he's that, because that will give an effect that will be also very useful in the religious process. Right? Does that make sense? The parents are following religion, they have children, then their children will be very likely to follow religious principles. Right? While the parents who are just about their mutual attraction, like that, then, you know, they may be following the rules, getting married and all that, you know, doing that probably. What I mean, but the basis of that, and therefore the basis of sex life, is that mutual attraction only. Then Krishna says he's an attraction of that, but he's not the sex. You understand? Because it's about the attraction. While the other, it's about performing the duties, and so one of the duties of the grihasthas is to have children, so therefore sex is required. So it's all part of the religious duty. But for the other one, it's just the attraction, so therefore that's all you get. And so the child will have that attraction. You know? Does that make sense? You know?
Again, can we say that the mixes are a confused population?
The mixes are confused. That's the meaning of Shankara. Shankara means confused. That it's mixed. It's not working out so good. You can't figure out what it is.
Can we apply the same thing for friendship? Like friendship of the same level is friendship of a different level?
If there's similar nature, then there might be senior and junior equals like that. Point is that friendship means there's common nature. There's something in common. You know, there has to be some common element that you're doing. Let's say both of you like to read at the library. Yes. So therefore you have a friendship based on that, and books and this and that. But outside of that, you may not have any friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, so in other words, the area with which it's in. Now, the one reads more, the one reads less. So the one's senior, the other one's junior, or they both read. One, the one who appreciates and understands it, then he's considered the senior. Or they may be equals; they have that equal taste.
Yes.
You know, does that make sense? So it's just a matter of there has to be something that's equal. Otherwise, how can they be friends? But it doesn't have to be so external like Draupad's approach with, between him and Drona. And we see it didn't work out so good. Mm-hmm. You know, it means they went to school together. That's their friendship. Mm-hmm. They shared all those experiences together. Mm-hmm. So based on that, that's their friendship. In other words, they're school, school alumni. So that's their friendship. Now, what they do after that, that's going to be different. So Drona was basing it on their, they went to school together.
Yes.
And but Drupad was basing it on, he's a Brahmin, I'm a Kshatriya.
Yes.
And so because of that, that being a mistake and a lower perspective, Drona was taking a higher perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because otherwise, yeah, they don't have a basis based on that. It's not even like he's a big Brahmin in a big court and all that. But he's just a poor Brahmin that doesn't have anything. And then he's coming to Drupad that has everything and is a big king and well-respected. And so in that way, he doesn't have the social prestige and all this. So it's a big mistake on Drupad's part.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point was they were going by, they were childhood friends, like Krishna and
Sudama.
Yes. That you see the perfect execution of that. So it should have been that, yes, we're not equals, I should respect you. And so therefore, you need to, I will give all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though other than when we were there, that was when we were children, so I don't know now, but you know, at least that much would be given. And then the consideration of that little discussion of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, and then from there it could, you know, grow from what it was. But the point is he used the wrong measurement.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, the result wasn't good.
Yes.
But you know, it's all part of the Lord's plan, so it all worked out. So,
yeah. Sometimes for us, it is not really part of the Lord's plan.
Yeah, no, it's part of the plan. If we consider Maya as part of the Lord's plan, so then that we're well situated in the plan. It's like you could say, then in this case, then. Duryodhana Dhritarashtra is the best situated in the plan. Because he just says, it's fate, what can I do? I'm just following the modes of nature, being washed around, there's nothing I can do about it. When a person is situated on the Vyasasana, he does not generally have to stand to receive a particular person entering the assembly. Right? It means if you're giving the class and people are walking in and out all the time, constantly throughout the class, you don't have to sit up or this and that during the whole thing. Otherwise, you know, just get rid of the seat, just stand the whole time. Right? You know, put one of those podiums there. Yeah, stand up like that. I mean, funny thing happened to me on the way to the temple. Right? Yes. So then, like that, but if someone senior walks in that's senior to you, then you stand up anyway.
Yes.
You know, that's just the etiquette. It means that those who are on the level of they're coming there to hear your class, and that would be generic, you know, then you don't have to stand up for them as they come and go.
Yes.
But if someone senior to you comes in, then you do. That's just the way it works. But so Romaharshana went on that rule, but took it, you know, on his, in his, you know, just generic sense, when he kind of missed the point here. You know, you can't just consider Balarama Kshatriya, you know, like that. But in this case, the situation is different because Lord Baladeva is not an ordinary human being. Therefore, although Romaharshana Sutta was voted to the Vyasasan by all the Brahmanas, he should have followed the behavior of other learned sages and Brahmanas present and should have known that Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Because he in the Puranas is talking about him all the time. So he should have known that. Right? Otherwise, what's the point speaking all these Puranas and he can't figure out the position of the Supreme Lord? Kind of like, yeah. It's a problem here. Respects are always due him, even though such respects can be avoided in the case of an ordinary man. Like that. The appearance of Krishna and Balaram, so even if it was a demigod, even though they're Kshatriyas, still the demigods have to be respected, and so then he would have stood up. Right? Unless he's, you know, Bhrigu or, Bhrigu, Nard, Brihaspati, like that. Then if they don't, then it's not a big problem. But if Brahma came in or she, then you'd have to stand up. And Brahma stands up when Vishnu comes in. So therefore, if Vishnu's coming in and you're a bit down on the totem pole here, then you should be standing up, right? So he should have followed the behavior of the other learned sages and Brahmins present. Maybe he didn't in the first moment stand up, but when he saw everyone else standing up, he's not going to, why sit there? He's not giving the lecture. No. They all stood up. It means everybody in the assembly stood up. Why wouldn't he stand up? You only don't stand up so you can continue the lecture. Right? But they all stop. They're all taken care of. Why didn't he stand up? The appearance of Krishna and Balaram is especially meant for his reestablishment of the religious principles. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the highest religious principle is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms that the topmost perfection of religion is to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. When Lord Balaram saw that Roma Harshana Sutta did not understand the highest principle of religion, in spite of his having studied all the Vedas, he certainly could not support his position. Roma Harshana Sutta, now if he had stood up and received everything like that, Balaram would have, he got a seat, he would have said, and like everybody else in the assembly, he would have been listening to Roma Harshana speak. That's the pastime. That's in that case, then, I'm the Kshatriya, you're the Brahmins, I'm hearing from you. Because he's acting like a Brahmin, he's doing the things. But here, then you're taking it down to I'm a Kshatriya and you're a Brahmin. But no, you're not a Brahmin, you're a Sutta. And it's shown by you're not understanding the process. That you've read all this literature, you didn't understand it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Like Krishna hearing from Bhishma.
Yeah, Krishna hearing from Bhishma, like this. They all do, because he's the senior Kshatriya. Like that. So it's that. Or he hears from Uddhava. Because he's a Brahmin, like this. So these kind of elements are there.
Well, then can we say from this particular incident that one who is in knowledge is not following when the punishment is severe?
One who's in knowledge that doesn't follow, it's more severe. It depends upon what it is. In this case, because here, what's the problem? It's the false ego. Like that. So it's just a matter of the false ego. Because otherwise you have to be very, very careful in that. Because otherwise there's things that Brahmins do that they get less punishment than Kshatriyas. And that, it goes down the other way. So the Shudra gets the most. But there's other things that they reverse. Does that make sense?
Can I know where is the reverse when the punishment is higher?
Of a Brahmin and a Shudra, what do you get? You get a Chandala. Right? So then that's worse. So you have to be careful. So it's just a matter of what you end up with. So you have to consider what's the effect. So the lower varnas, their mixes give less of an effect than the higher varnas mix. So there's a few states where it's like that. Because generally speaking, Brahmins know the Shastras, they're interested in understanding Brahman, so when the mistake is pointed out, then their contemplation or their manana of it, they can correct the situation themselves. They don't require anyone else. That's the meaning of their independent. While the others actually require someone to help them with it. So then that's why it's more severe. Does that make sense? But, all these things have to be judged. But the point is in the generic then. Roma Harshana Sutta had been given the chance to become a perfect Brahmana. Right? So even though he's a Sutta, he's acting like a Brahmana, performing the duties, has the qualifications. Therefore, he's given the opportunity to act in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But because of his ill behavior in his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his low birth was immediately remembered. Because now he's acting according to his low birth. He's not acting according to that brahminical position that he's given the opportunity for. So he's speaking to Purana. He's acting in that brahminical position. So it works very nicely that he's there. No one's considering him a suta. But now that he's not respecting the Supreme Lord, which is the actual purpose of the brahminical culture, the brahminical duties, then you can see, then his low birth is remembered. Yes? No? Okay. Yeah.
So again, it shows that the relationships are in the first place and the positions and this and that.
Yes. It means that it's how you act is more important than what's the external. Like Vidura, he's a Shudra, but because of his knowledge and Dharma and all that, he's the prime minister. Mm-hmm. You know, generally speaking, you would have a Brahmin as the prime minister, or another Kshatriya as well, you know, like this. But the point is, because he knew Dharma better than anyone, therefore he was the prime minister. Mm-hmm. But when he didn't support Duryodhana, Duryodhana would bring up his low birth, and then in that way insulted him. But he shouldn't have, because he was speaking from that topmost brahminical position.
Yes. Well, can we say that in the case of Vidura, his father was a Brahmin? That's why, even though the mother was a Shudra, it was still better. Yes, it is. That's why.
Yeah, but if you take that one, then that's also Dhritarashtra and Pandu, and they're all in that way.
That's why. They could be kings. No, but, yeah. I'm saying that Vidura could act as a prime minister, in a sense, because he was not a
prime minister. But at the same time, his mother's a Shudra. Mm-hmm. You know, so... You can, because the whole point is you go by what they are. It means someone's born into a particular family, then you take it that they have the nature of that family. But as time goes, as their nature develops and unfolds, then you'll start to deal with them according to that nature. Now, if that nature is the same as the family, then that will continue. But if you see that it changes, then, you know, so he's born of a Shudrani, so therefore then he would be in that class. But as you see by his nature as he goes and his knowledge and his ability, then he would be naturally elevated to that position. Or if you see as they're born in the family but they're acting in a degraded way, they can go down. Because just like they're a Sutta, Suttas could be Brahmins, like we see Roma Harshana performing his duties. They could be Kshatriyas, like we see Yayati's children with Devayani, like that. They could be chariot drivers, you know, like, what's his name? Karna, you know, that group. Or they could be those who live out in the forest and trap small animals, you know, like a Magrari. You know what I'm saying? So these are your four main options for a sutta. Yeah, no, it has quite a range. The other ones don't have such a range, but it, somehow or another it has the most range. Yeah, so it's just a matter of how he acts. So his character and all that, because of something, so he has the curse of a Brahmin, therefore he ended up in this situation. So that's why the Vedic culture, you go by what's there. In other words, you start from the external because that's all you have to work with. But then as soon as you start to see the internal, then you adjust. So the internal is more important than the external. Right? You know, the guy looks really rough and all that, and so you're careful. But when you see he deals very nicely, he's very cultured, then you'll deal with him as a cultured person. But, you know, just when you take him to a party, he'll wear a shirt with collars and long sleeves. Like that, yeah. So, yeah. Romaharshana Sutta had been given the position of a Brahmin, but he had not been born in the family of a Brahmin. He had been born in a Pratiloma family, a According to the Vedic concept, there are two kinds of mixed family heritage, called Anuloma and Pratiloma. When a male is united with a female of a lower caste, the offspring is called Anuloma. But it means with the grain. Right? But Pratiloma. No. But when a male unites with a woman of a higher class, the offspring is called Pratiloma. It means it's against the grain. Because it's a natural thing. The girl always appreciates that the boy is of a higher position than she is. That's how she has that respect and everything. So if it's the other way around, it may, based on that affection or attachment, may work, but it's not ideal. Because the values, the difference and all that, she has to very much control herself. Right? But it should be the man is controlling and everything and making that work. So. Ramaharshana Sutta belonged to a Pratiloma family because his father was a Kshatriya and his mother a Brahmana. Because Ramaharshana's transcendental realization was not perfect, Lord Balaram remembered his Pratiloma heritage. Right, so if he had been dealing properly, you don't have to bring that up. You know, it's just like Mataji gave the example, is that the pujari did something wrong, and then devotees say, "Oh, he was never a Brahmin and all that." He was like, but the point is who's saying that? You know, is the person saying that? Is their name Sharma? You know, are they from Bharadwaj, Gotra like this? You know, is this what we're talking about here? No. We're talking about, you know, those in the Kasyapa line, and yes.
Maharaj, many times devotees have big question, like, how can Ashwatthama become next to Saptarishis, one of the Saptarishis?
Why not? How did they become a devotee? You know what I'm saying? That's Mataji's point.
Yes, that is.
Is those coming from Malecha and Yavana backgrounds, and now they take up devotional service, which is a Brahminical thing, and then they complain others aren't Brahminical. How can they do that?
Yes.
At least he was born in a practicing Brahmin family and had the knowledge as was doing. And I'm sure that those who made that comment to you are not from that kind of family. Even if their family's Brahmins, they're professionals. Mm. And you know what Varna professionals are? Mm. They're Shudras. If you're a doctor or a lawyer, okay. But how many are doctors and lawyers? Some are. But if you're a professional working in the corporate world, then your position is that of a Shudra. Of Shudras, you're a Kayastha. It means you're from a higher Varna. Mm. And so they're better, and that's why you hire them as opposed to just a regular Shudra. Because you have the brain of a Dvija, but you're using it for Shudra work. So there's no position to get proud. That's why one has to be very careful that this position of being a professional is so overrated. It's good for getting things done. But the point is if you're proud of that, then the quality of that work that you do is not useful in Krishna consciousness. So one has to be very careful about that.
And they don't consider he is doing austerity for all this till the end of the Kali Yuga.
Yeah, that's another thing. He's doing that. And so all these things are going on. He's performing his Brahminical duties. He makes the one mistake, on one day, or a couple of days. And then after that, he goes back to performing his Brahminical duties. So he had that position. He was functioning in that position like that. And so then they make a mistake. That's the whole point. The Vedic system can handle people can make mistakes. If you have a nature, that is your nature. You give up that nature, yes, then you'll be reclassified. But if you don't give up the nature, so that's even amongst devotees. They don't give up that identification as a devotee and that faith in Krishna. Even so many things go wrong, they're still considered devotees. That's what Krishna says. They're still rightly situated. Because what's rightly situated is being Krishna conscious, not your moral status. Right? Someone who's Krishna conscious, applies the moral position in Krishna's service. But if somehow or another that slips, the essential point is still there. But we're taking it, the moralism is what makes it. So anyone who says that, that's actually karma misra bhakti. Or even can be the extent of bhakti misra karma. You understand? So it's not a glorious position by saying that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so one has to be very, very careful. One can ask, how can he be? But then it's explained, so now you know, you'll never bring that up again. But if you see the person has a tendency to anyone who has any difficulty to find fault, that's because they're at fault. So they're like Rama Maharshi. Like that. Because they can't. If they're a professional, they can't do that. If they're a businessman from a business family, and then they're getting bent out of shape, that you can understand, because the economic system depends upon morality. It means of everybody else. You got your money because you're not moral, but everybody else has to be, otherwise they don't recognize your money and don't support it. So for them, if an actual Vaishya is freaking out about the moral things, that's understandable, because for them, their whole economic system is based on that. I made the money, it's mine. So they have to. You'll generally see those who do that tend to be have you know, Vaishya or Vaishya mix there. They tend to be, because Shudras generally aren't too worried about that. It only has gossip value. Kshatriyas, it's the law, they should be following the law and all that, it's against the law, so then that's there. Or the Brahmins, they may have that, but then it gets a little external. What about the devotional? What about other higher elements? So then they tend to be too dry. But they're not wrong, but they're dry. But the others, and that's just the nature, so everybody's going to function according to their nature. But it's still, one should be careful, because if it's not for that, how did any of us become devotees? You know, unless, of course, those coming from, you know, proper, you know, Vaishnava backgrounds or Smarta backgrounds, or, you know, those that have a culture, follow that, then that's okay. They want to complain, I'm not going to criticize. It's natural for them because that's the way it is. Their family's like that. Everyone they know, that happens. So, you know, it's once I heard a family, Brahmin family, then they, you know, it came up as in discussion in a family gathering. I think they were there for a wedding, that, you know, that this member of the family, some kind of relative, you know, there is beating their wife. And that was just like, it's never been heard of. No one in their family does it. No one in their family previously ever did it. This is the first example. And so it's like, whoa, this is freaky. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that they may have something to go on these kind of things, because they follow it. But they weren't following it. Now they're a devotee, and now they're following it. Now they get bent out of shape of no one else, anybody else who makes a mistake. You know, that's not a strong position. Because the point is it about how to rectify that, or is it just pointing out their social position and trying to drop them in their position? Because if it's the second, then of what value does that have in Krishna consciousness? We can say, oh, the people won't. They got, start preaching. Start training people. Personally, just personally, I'm really sick of that excuse. Oh, no one will accept it. Oh, we may accept it, but no one else will. Why aren't they? It's because you haven't been preaching to your congregation. You haven't been training. That's why they're functioning on such a mundane level. That's why they don't accept. So the fault's yours, not this person's. Oh, he's creating so much trouble for the society. No, he's not. People way bigger than this and doing much worse things were falling down when Prabhupada was here. And it had zero effect. I mean, zero. Because it was all about the mission. You know, when you're in a battle and people die all around you, you still go forward. And now the guy burped and, you know, the war's over. We can't fight this battle. It's the end of the world. You know, it's like, you know, so it's not, and we're not trying to reduce what they've done wrong here. What we're trying to point out is what's the balance of view of it. You know, otherwise if we change it to that, that's using all those improper points of logic. You know, because you're shifting it to a different discussion. The discussion is what's the appropriate way to view it, not what's been done. Because here, what's the problem? He didn't stand up. That's not a big deal. But it's because of the mentality and the perspective that he had. That's the problem. You understand? So that's the whole point. Because
We see in the example of Daksha, just the reverse.
Okay.
And he should have known about them.
Daksha.
No, Rama Maharshi Sutta knew all the Puranas. Daksha was before that.
That's Balaram's point, is he knows all this, but he did not understand the highest principle of religion in spite of his having studied all the Vedas. So he should have been able to do that. In other words, we can see is that he hadn't come to a high level of realization, but his knowledge of the subject was very good. So being better than others, therefore he could give the discussions. But when it came to actual points of applying it and that, he's not qualified for those discussions.
So we can categorize him as a professional Bhagavatam reciter?
In this case right here, yes. But in general, you wouldn't, because then you have a problem, because there's a good chance, except for Bhagavatam, he spoke all the Puranas. So, in other words, you have to choose which position you want to take for. It may get the point across, but then it'll create a problem. So, yes.
Mark, there's an idea amongst the devotees that by practicing devotional service, we can upgrade our varna position. Is that true?
You can upgrade your varna. I mean, you have two approaches to this. One, you can upgrade your varna to a higher position if you're from a higher position, but due to, the mode of ignorance, bad association, bad habits, you are functioning on a lower level. Let's say someone's from a Brahmin family, but because of bad association and bad habits, he's functioning as a Shudra. So when he comes to the temple, he'll be like a Shudra. And the temple president, because he understands the Varnashram system as Prabhupada recommended, he'll engage him in that nature as a Shudra. But now as he starts to become purified, and that mode of passion just pokes up a little bit, and he starts getting interested in the economic sides of the temple and all that, the temple president will engage him in those activities. And then as he keeps getting purified, then the mode of goodness will start popping up. Then he'll get more involved in the, organizational aspects of the temple. Then as it, gets more purified, where the goodness becomes the prominent and the other ones less, then he'll be engaged according to that. So that is, yes, devotional service, because it will purify, it can bring one up to that, what is the natural level, so what is there in its purified state. In other words, we look at it from the Varnashram state as opposed to the modern, form of it.
Yeah.
Like that, because of the purification. Because if not, it'll just function in the modern context. So only devotional service has the power to do that, you could say, in one lifetime. Otherwise, he's acting as a Shudra. Next life, he'll be a Shudra. So that's there. That's in Varna. Now, in acting in the ashram level, that ashram is a Brahminical ashram, but still you may approach it from the value system of a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And so, even though you're getting up in the morning, you're taking your bath, and you're going to the temple, you may not be as attentive to details as someone of a higher nature. You know what I'm saying? So, that can be improved by devotional service. So, whatever your varna, it doesn't matter. So you may even be Shudra by varna, but by ashram, then you'll be Brahman. Situated. So your realizations, your understanding of the philosophy, so it may be you're the best, speaker or lecturer or teacher in the whole, group.
Yes.
Because of the ashram side. So in that way, then you're functioning as Brahminical, but not Brahminical from the varna side, but Brahminical from the ashram side. So from that, then we mean is you're studying, teaching scriptures, like that. So, and then you may be engaged in things. But now whether it means due to devotion, then you could be with the deities all day. But by your nature, you couldn't. So it's the purification has gone beyond that. So these direct activities of devotional service, these five activities, you could be engaged in them. Like you could do Harinam all day because of your advancement. But let's say someone who is a Brahminical nature, he could do Harinam all day even though he doesn't really have a taste for it. But he can do it because it's a duty, it's the things that you do. You know what I'm saying? Whether you stand in front of a wall all day or whether you go out on Harinam, it doesn't matter. It's just something religious. Does that make sense? So that kind of thing is there. So that's what you have to be able to judge, is that you understand the Varnashram system, itself, it's how it functions, the varna and ashram and the relationship between them, but then you also understand how devotional service influences that. But when we say is there brahminical, it means brahminical on that ashram side. In other words, the direct activities. The indirect activities then, or the technical activities, that's going to be according to their nature. So even though he can do puja all day, there's a good chance he won't do the Shaligram puja. Because it's more technical. I'm saying someone who's a Shudra by nature, but because of his devotion, he likes being with the deities. So he'll be involved in something, cooking for the deities, you know, dressing and, you know, artiks, and he's just around or backup stuff or anything. It doesn't matter as long as it's connected to the deities. Does that make sense? But let's say there's someone who's brahminical by nature, then they can be comfortably do the Shaligram puja every day, though it's so technical day in, day out, and it doesn't matter. Then they may eventually get a taste. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the idea. That without devotional service, they wouldn't be doing it. Like that. But with devotional service, they may, but it'll be the direct activities. And if not, it'll be really simple. Like that. So that's why Prabhupada's given our general system of worship is quite simple, but at the same time, he expected there's the technical side also. That's proper. So those who have that brahminical nature, then they'll take care of all the technical and see the structures going on. And those who are involved simply because of the devotional, then they'll take part there. Yes. And that respect needs to be, you know,
yes.
The respect of both sides need to be there. Especially if you don't have either of the qualities. You don't have the devotion and you're not brahminical. Then you make politics about the DD department. That's bad. Is that okay? Yes.
So, Maharaj, suppose we are born not in this four varna, outcast.
But the outcasts still fall within these natures, because these are the inherent natures. They just don't function within that. So all outcasts are fallen forms of these others.
Yes. Okay. But it's not the same nature.
It's an impure of one of those. It's just like, okay, now let's say, let's just take a more broad example. So, in the modern context, are most people involved in the interaction between the masculine and feminine natures, especially, you know, tending towards a sensual kind of direction? So that means it's grihastha. But are they following the rules of the grihastha ashram? Not necessarily. The better they follow them, the better their relationship. So you may have someone who knows nothing about the Vedic culture, but they follow certain rules, you know, in the way of just, it's not written rules, it's just they've gotten that from their parents or their own understanding and their observation. And so therefore they deal in a particular way in their family life and it's successful. Mm-hmm. But if you check, the reason they're successful is because they're following the rules that the Veda recommends. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe not in the external form, but in the principle.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So to that degree that they are, it works. And to that degree they're not. So the laws of nature are still there. And it's just that where you have a tendency to fit it. It means even in the modern culture, if you say that generally people you could divide into the more intellectual kind of work that they do, the more administrative, the more economic, and the more just, you know, arts and, you know, support and, you know, the white collar, blue collar, all these other kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And that is a broad category, it'll be accepted. But the problem is you have Vaishyas that are running hospitals or law firms or schools that shouldn't be happening.
Yes.
You know, like that. So you have stuff like that, or Shudras who are elected to posts in government. Mm. And which is all right on a village level, but not on the upper governmental level. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it's unscientific. So they're still following Varnashram. So even if we say, oh, but it's modern world, it still follows that. You know Varnashram, you can understand it and work with it better. Like that. So you're saying, well, we have to do what the karmis do, but they've only observed what's there. They don't even know that what they're observing of right, what works and doesn't work, is based on Varnashram. And even that may have their influence of their own you know, their own values. So, but the Vedic system, then it's very clear and very clean. So that's what Balaram's pointing out. When this Vedic system becomes muddled, it's being misapplied, then it has to be corrected. Otherwise, it'll make so much trouble. Because now you think, because I'm superior, I don't have to be respectful to anybody.
Yes.
Like that. So does that make sense? Yeah. Because Rama Harshana's transcendental realization was not perfect, right? Not that he wasn't doing the duties, but his realization was not. And now you're dealing with the Supreme Lord. You need to have some transcendental realization. Right? Lord Balaram remembered his Pratiloma heritage. Otherwise, he wouldn't have. The idea is that any man may be given the chance to become a Brahmin. But if he improperly uses the position of a Brahmin without actual realization, then his elevation of the Brahminical position is not valid. Right? That's the only time you bring it up. You know, it's just like devotees are going on. You don't bring up their past.
Yes.
But if they, you know, in this case as before, they start criticizing another devotee for that, if they're from the same kind of background, then it's kind of like, hey,
yes,
you can't do that. That's the only time you bring it up.
Yes.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Balaram became extremely angry upon seeing how this member of the Sutta caste had failed to stand up, bow down, or join his palms. Right, so even if he just stood up, and that would have been enough, but stood up, you know, or even there, he would have, you know, from the seat, even just, you know, like that. So he didn't do any of this. He didn't, in the seat, without getting up, join his palms. He didn't stand up, which he could have done and naturally done his palm, or he could have come down in standing, joining his palms, and greeted him, like everybody else did, but he didn't. And also, how he was sitting above all the learned brahmanas, right? So, because he's thinking it was by status. What he could say is, no, but the Vyasadana is always above. You have to have that kind of aspect so people can see. But he was thinking of the external. He wasn't thinking of the efficiency of the class. He was thinking of position. Because he's speaking, therefore he's in the higher position. And so he doesn't have that position. He shouldn't have been there. Footnote 24.
What should we do in this situation? For example, we are giving class and some senior devotees are coming, even a gurus or powerful disciples in a situation like this.
That means if they're senior, then you in some way, depends upon the nature and who they are. But otherwise, then you either, you know, acknowledge they're coming in, or you stand up, or, you know, depends upon who they are. The bigger it is, the how you say, the more you have to. Does that make sense?
Not commit the same mistake.
Yeah, you have to be careful of that. Like that. Footnote 25. Vyasa was an avatar of the Lord and had written many scriptures on Dharma. The studying did not produce qualities like control of the mind. Because of an ancient offense, he could not control his mind. Thus, he could not control his senses. Therefore, his learning was useless. Srimajiva Goswami. So it goes back. Because of an ancient offense, he couldn't control the mind. Thus, he could not control his senses. So all the learning was useless. Useless meaning he can't apply it. Doesn't mean that you throw it all out. It just means he wasn't able to apply it. So you judge him according to his position of realization. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Abhakti ki, Jai Nitai Govara Prema.
But Maharaj, here it is said Vyasa, and but it's not from our son.
Sorry?
Here it is said in the note, it is Vyasa, means Vyasadeva, not Ramaharshan.
No, here Vyasa was an avatar of the Lord, he had written many scriptures on Dharma.
Yes.
And so, therefore, for Ramaharshana, the studying did not produce qualities like control of the mind. That was the point, is that from all that study, he should have gotten control of the mind, but he didn't because of an ancient offense.
Yes.
And because of that offense, he could not control his mind. Because he couldn't control his mind, he couldn't control his senses.
Yes.
And so he didn't stand up, he didn't behave himself.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.